prefers to probe. He doesn't like to take the chair.
Yes, chair is too limited.
He's got a probe in mind. With an emphasis on mind.
I agree with you. And I would like Mr. Brenner to go in and
just the two of us.
Okay, so who on the number?
No, fine.
And SG,
well, fine.
Not official.
Swap.
TMG,
Swap,
and our official.
Yeah, fine.
Our sincere apologies. We started already 12 minutes late.
Okay, so.
So I was starting to apologize for that delay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was with the apologies. I know you were here by 9 o'clock. Thank you very much. Honorable Breitenbach.
Thank you. The Honorable Self and the Honorable Born apologize.
Honorable Self and Hon?
Yeah.
Okay. Honorable Self and Hon apologize. Honorable Self was here. He will join us within 30 minutes. Okay.
He mustn't think he can come find the paper and then go and then think he was here.
He's coming back. Terrible. And then...
Oh, that's unfair.
Bongo is in 35.
I think he can do a lot less damage here.
Yes.
He should come here.
Okay. So...
How are you doing?
Fine, sir.
SG. You are most welcome, Mr. Official. Do you need any introduction from this side?
No.
Most of us.
Those.
Not really.
My lady.
Okay, I'm Mukapo.
And my law.
We can get to know each other as we go.
But I'm Adi. Then on the right, extreme right hand side is Honorable Bumlana. Advocate Bumlana. Next to him is Honorable Maila. Next to him is Honorable Matthias. Next to, on his right hand side, is Honorable Advocate
Breitenbach.
And then Christine is one of our officials. And then you know him is the secretary of this committee, Bonani Romano, the PMG, then next is the researcher. Christine is our content advisor. Lulelo. And then
Olivia
is TMG. And then from your side, do you mind to introduce your delegation?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Nancy Joseph, Secretary General Office of the Chief Justice. And next to me is the CFO, Mr. Kasi Kuter. Next to her is Ms. Tebogo Mashifane, Director in my office. And next to him, to her is Mr. Itumele Malau, the Director responsible for monitoring and evaluation.
Thank
and reporting in the oxygen. Thanks very much,
Chairperson.
I'm not really Chairperson. I think the team is sufficient. Other members are held up elsewhere, so we felt the team is sufficient to deal with the issues unless there are issues raised. Thank you very much.
Apology from the Chief Justice.
Honorable members, Office of Chief Justice is here to present its 2017-2018 first quarterly performance report. Unfortunately, what a coincidence, on the 23rd August 2010, it was proclaimed as a department. Now today, if I'm not mistaken, it's the 23rd, yes, of August, 4 days towards my birthday.
Oh. Happy birthday to you.
No, on Sunday.
Happy birthday to you.
Please come with him for one. I must sing on Sunday.
Yes.
But none of us are here.
Okay. No, without any waste of time, what's this? Over to you.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, for the opportunity to present the quarter one of the 2017-18 financial year. The presentation is available. The presentation outline will deal with the purpose of the presentation, the mandate of the OCJ, the vision, mission, and the values, the strategic goals, the budget, the program structure, the legislative requirements, the overview of the performance, the non-financial performance information, the quarter one financial information, and the institutional challenges and constraints, and the conclusion. So the purpose is to present to the Honorable Committee the performance in relation to quarter one on financials and non-financial performance. Chairperson, with your permission and honorable members, I can skip the first slides because they are just the introductions. It's the information that the honorable committee members are aware of, the mandate of the organization, including the functions thereof, the legislative mandates, and the various pieces of legislation and the law that applies to the environment we operate in, the vision, the mission, and the values, and the strategic goals. And the three strategic goals of the department. May I zoom straight to the budget program structure? Safe to highlight that you will notice that the budget program structure has changed, and we had informed the committee in the last presentation we had. Program one remained the same. Program two is now superior court services, and program three, judicial education and judicial support. The next slide deals with the legislative requirements, which are with the indulgence of the committees, because it's common information, and go straight to the overview of the OCJ Quarter 1 non-financial performance report. Honorable members, the Office of the Chief Justice, on its seventh year of existence, of course, which is the third year now of the budget vote, because the first 4 years were under the program of justice, is happy to present that the OCJ had planned 14 targets in quarter one, of which 5 were in program one, 6 in program two, and 3 in the last program, which is program three. Overall, you'll see on the first slide that the overall performance is 73% of targets achieved and 7% non-achieved. The next slide breaks, 93%. Achieved and 7% not achieved. Sorry, Chairperson and members. The next slide, honorable members, breaks down the performance in terms of each program. As already indicated in the graph, program one had 5 targets and all of them were achieved, as you will see on the graph. Program two had 6 targets and 5 of them were achieved. And program three achieved all three, which is a total of 14. Out of 14, 13 achieved and 1 not achieved. The next slide, honorable members, expresses the same information said in percentage format and not in numbers, which indicates that program one and program three achieved 100% of their target for quarter one, and program two achieved 83% of their target for this quarter. With your permission, next slide is just to indicate what programs are in the program one. I will skip that with your permission, Chairperson and members, because we know the program, the sub-programs under this, and the strategic objectives to capacitate the office and ensure good governance and administration in the department, under which we have 5 sub-programs: management, corporate services, finance, internal audit, and office accommodation. Going to the next slide, is an expression of how the sub-programs under Program 1 performed. You will notice, honorable members, that management, the first sub-program, had 4 planned quarterly targets, which were all achieved. And you'll notice that corporate services, internal audit, and office accommodation sub-programs, the 3 did not have targets for this quarter. And financial administration had 1 pin target, which has been achieved. The next slide breaks down the targets as they appear in our annual performance plan. The first sub-program management, the 2 targets on this slide relating to the annual performance plan aligned to the prescripts tables and according to timelines. that was achieved. The next relates to combined assurance plan as part of risk management. It was also achieved. The plan was implemented in all procedural costs. The next slide deals with the third target, indicator and target, relating to strategic and operational risk registers reviewed and updated. That was achieved. The next indicator and target for fraud risk assessment conducted within the OCJ. The annual targets are indicated there. It was also achieved because the fraud risk assessment was conducted in the six superior courts as planned. The next sub-program, financial administration, in relation to, which is indicator number five, number of compliant financial performance reports submitted within prescribed time. These are reports we have to submit to Treasury on a monthly basis. And the 12 annual targets are indicated there in quarter three. The three, all of them were submitted on time as prescribed, and the target was achieved. We're moving now to program number two, superior costs, the non-financial performance. The slides, as usual, indicate what the purpose of the program is, court administration services to the superior court, and the program is broken down into five sub-programs, which relates to the administration of superior courts, constitutional court support, SCA, Supreme Court of Appeal support, high court administration, and specialized court support, and the objective ensuring efficient and effective administration of this court. The next slide, Chairperson and Honorable Members, indicate how sub-programs have performed. The first sub-program has six, as indicated in the graphic expression. Six planned targets, five were achieved and one was not achieved. The judiciary is also, just as a note, directly responsible for the four sub-programs, as the department did not include the targets thereof in the 17-18. I think this is a matter that we discussed at length with the committee in the last engagement. The next slide, performance against the set targets on sub-program of administration of superior courts. The quasi-judicial targets, the annual target of 80, and the actual target was 84%. The deviation of minus 4%, which is an overachievement. And the number of superior performance monitoring reports produced per year was also achieved, target of 2. The next slide, the FED indicator and target for sub-program, for program two, for sub-program administration of superior courts. The default judgments finalized the registers per year with the annual target of 80%, and the actual performance was 82%, which is an overachievement. The fourth indicator and target, taxation of legal costs, was also achieved at 90%. Moving to the next sub-program, to the next indicator, the number of training workshops and management conducted for registrars and statisticians and the registrars per year, which is the staff that supports the judicial functions of the court, the annual target of 4, the quarterly target of 1, it was not achieved because there were other competing priorities that the staff had to focus on, which is something that we are working on as a department to address. The capacity responsible for this is the reason for deviation were involved in the action of other agent priorities. In addition, and as a plan to mitigate the underperformance, in addition for to the National Court Administration Unit, the registrars or the head of the registrars will be conducting training also in their own respective training, as opposed to, in addition to the centralized training that they receive. The sixth indicator and target, annual of 98%, quarterly, so consistent 98%. The actual performance was 100%. The next slide, program three, judicial education and judicial support, which is part of non-financial performance. The slide here indicates the purpose. Providing programs, education programs to judicial officers, including policy development and research, to optimize administration of justice. The tertiary sub-programs, which is is the South African Judicial Education Institute, Policy Research Support and the JSC Services, Secretariat Services, with the objective to enhance judicial skills for serving and aspiring judicial officers to perform optimally. The next slide, Honorable Chairperson and members, indicates the graphic expression of how each of the sub-programs performed. The first sub-program had one planned quarterly target and it was achieved, which is that SAJAY. The Judicial Policy and Research also had one target which was achieved, as well as the Judicial Service Commission Secretariat Service achieved their target. The next slide is a breakdown of each indicator and target. The first indicator for the sub-program, number of judicial education courses conducted per year, annual target of 77, with a quarterly target of 11. The actual was 16 and it was exceeded because additional courses for aspiring district court managers and one trainer were added. The second indicator and target, legal advisor opinion on policy development and research services provided, annual target of 85 consistent per quarter, in the quarter, and 100% was achieved. The last indicator and target, number of judicial appointments and judicial complaints produced, 3 as an annual target, quarterly target of 1 was also achieved. The next slide is the performance in relation to the financials. The financial expenditure report per program, the economic classification, and also the program. The first slide here is on the program breakdown. You will notice, the members, honorable members, that the annual budget for the department is 1.9 billion, 984625 billion, broken down into voted is 1.018656 billion. Which is for operations, and the direct charge, which deals with the judges' salaries from the National Revenue Fund, is 966 million, with a total of 1.984 billion. In terms of year-to-date, quarter one, the budget expenditure and the variance, the administration against the budget of annual of 198.991 million. Had a budget of 54,960 for this quarter, and we spent 32.263 with a variance of 15.697. I will deal with the variances in the next slide, where we break it down according to economic classifications and the reasons later, which is a 28.6% variance. Superior Court Second Sub-Program, against an annual of 737,470 million. First quarter budget of 175,595 million, we spent 176,440 million, which is an over expenditure of 584 and a 3.4%. This will indicate the reasons for the delay, which relates to the invoices. The second last sub program, Judicial Education and Support, 82,104 million annual budget. Quarter one, 18.989 was the budget for the quarter. We spent 8.593 for the first quarter, which is an under expenditure with a variance of 10,396 and 54.7%. It relates to the magistrate's appointment that did not take place, but we'll explain it later, which gives the final voted funds of 1.018, as I've already indicated. 244.544 planned, budgeted, and 224,295 million expended, with a variance of 20.249.83%. Against the direct charges, judges' salaries, the first quarter budget was 237,610 million, and we spent 247,488, with a variance of 9,878 and 4.2% over expenditure, which we will explain, relating to the gratuities that had to be paid because they are never planned, they depend on the request. So finally, the total, as I've indicated earlier, 1.9 billion 84625. We budgeted 482,154 million for the quarter, and we spent 471,783 with a variance of 10,371, 2.2% variance overall. I'll ask the CFO to take over the slide, the two slides, and I'll conclude. Honorable Chairperson and members with your permission.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, members, and AC. The next slide deals with the financial expenditure on the economic classification. The overall budget on compensation of employees for the year is 1.524 billion, but that includes the voted and the judges' salaries. The voted funds for salaries is an amount of 615 million. The first quarter expenditure planned was 148 million, and we spent 146 million of the planned money. The underspending of 1.3 million will be explained in the slide below. On the judges' salaries, the budgeted amount is 908 million for the year, of which 223 million was planned for quarter one, and we've overspent slightly to the amount of 228 million. We will deal with the deviations as we move along. On the goods and services classification, our total budget is 320 million. We spent 70 million of the planned 80 million with an underspending of 10 million. Then there was an amount of 4,000 rand for interest that we paid in the department, which wasn't planned for. Then on the transfers and subsidies classification, we spent 19.4 million of the planned 14.27 million. On the voted funds, we spent 214,000 of the planned 178,000. And then on the judges' salaries, on the transfers and subsidies, which deals with the gratuities of judges, we spent 19.2 million of the planned 14 million for the quarter. On the purchase of capital assets, there's a spending of 7.3 million for the quarter against the planned 16 million with an underspending of 8 million. And then in total, it balances with the previous slide. The OCJ has spent 471 million of the planned 482 million for the first quarter with an underspending in total of 10.3 million. On the administration reasons for deviation, I'm going to deal with deviations per program first, and then I will deal with the deviations per economic classification. The 28.6% underspending is on the compensation part mainly as a result of the SMS salary cost of living adjustment that hasn't been pronounced and paid yet. We had to plan for that in the first quarter, but the SMS members haven't received the salary increase as yet. And then the main reason for underspending is the e-filing project, where the budget is allocated from the so-called IJS fund, the Integrated Justice System Fund, which is in the Department of Justice, and the funds were confirmed for this year very late in the first quarter. So in the first quarter we have planned for the e-filing to commence with the software licenses, but that hasn't happened yet. The tender is being advertised next week, Friday. So the spending will commence in the second quarter then. On Program 2, Superior Court Services, the 3.4% overspending that we've reported relates to invoices that we received in March in the previous financial year. When the year end happens, the systems close, we were unable to process the March invoices because of the system closures, and then we had to pay those invoices in the current financial year in the first quarter, and that is the reason for overspending there. Then Program 3, Judicial Education and Judicial Support, it's a huge underspending of 54.7%. The main reason is, you will see there was an underspending of 10 million, is that a budget of 10 million was planned for the training of the newly appointed magistrates. That is a process that is dealt with by the Magistrates Commission. Now the magistrates haven't been appointed yet in quarter one, so the OCJ had to postpone the expenditure because we can only start training magistrates once they are appointed. So that is the reason for the 10 million underspending in Program 3. On judges' salaries, there was an overspending of 4.2%, which was due to two reasons. Gratuities paid to justice is upon request. That is something you can't really plan for. And the other reason is there was a number of acting appointments of judges acting in vacancies or where judges are on long leave, which was also unplanned for. Then reasons for deviation on economic classification. On the compensation of employees, the voted funds, you will say see there's a marginal understanding of 0.9%, and that is as a result of the non-payment or the non-implementation of the cost of living salary increases for SMS members. Then on the statutory fund, the judges' salaries, there was an overspending, and that is, as I explained, as a result of more than anticipated acting appointment of judges. Then on the goods and services, overall there was an underspending of 12.7%, which relates to the delayed appointment of the magistrates and the training that was supposed to have happened in quarter one if they were appointed, and also a few invoices that were produced in quarter one which was not yet settled. Then there was a slight overspending of 4,000 rand on interest, and that is as a result of the static account of judges' vehicles, which is managed jointly between us and the Department of Justice. And there was a bit of a delay in terms of verifying the correctness of invoices, and there was interest accrued as a result thereof. On the transfers and subsidies, there are also two areas, voted and statutory. The first portion is an overspending of 36,000, which relates to the payout of leave gratuity to officials who resign. So that is something that the department also cannot really plan for in terms of expenditure management. And then the second portion was the 36.6% overspending as a result of the gratuities that were requested to be paid by the judges who qualified. On the purchase of capital assets, the main reason for underspending, the 54.4% underspending, is, as explained earlier, the e-filing tender that is now being advertised, which was planned for, but the funds were delayed, the confirmation of funds were delayed from Treasury and Justice until very late in the quarter. So those are the reasons for underspending and overspending on economic classification. Thank you, SC.
Thank you, honourable members and chairperson and honourable members. That concludes the presentation for quarter one of the OCJ performance. As at the end of the quarter, the 17-18 financial year, the department has achieved a 93% performance with a total expenditure of 22% of the annual budget that is voted. However, despite the challenges the department is faced with during the first quarter, various control measures have been put in place to ensure the effective administrative support to the judiciary. And that concludes the presentation, Chairperson and honourable members. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honourable members. Is there anything you'd like to comment on, questions? Let me say that Honorable Maila and Bumulwana was requested to be recused because there is an international relations workshop.
Could I also just kind of sign the paper?
Is that her?
So they also just came to sign the paper.
No, I don't think so.
No, they didn't say. They signed the paper and they left. So clearly, I see that you've given myself and the Honourable Matthias a chance to answer, ask questions that would of course be because there are only two committee members left in the committee. However, thank you for the presentation. I'm going to try very, very hard to put this to life. If I fail, please forgive me. It's not aimed necessarily at you, and you should try hard not to take it personally. I have no idea from your presentation what the performance in the first quarter for the Office of the Chief Justice was. It is very, very pretty to look at. You have the most marvelous pie chart
which tell me nothing at all. There are no statistics of, contained in this report. I don't know what it means when you say overall performance will take slightly out of 7% and then 93% target achieved. What were the targets? How were they achieved? What are the targets that were not achieved? Why were they not achieved? It may be because I'm particularly dim, and I concede that happily. But I don't, and we had the same problem, so please don't think that it's limited to yourself. We had the same problem yesterday, where I wasn't here, but my colleague briefed me fully. And I've got no doubt we're going to have the same problem in the National Prosecuting Authority around. We get beautiful pictures of pie charts and pretty pictures and lovely colors, and they mean nothing. I don't know how many cases you did. I don't know how many cases you didn't do. I don't know what the backlog is. I don't know why. I don't know if it's been worked off. I don't know if it's growing. If you have reached 100% of your target, what is it? Is it 100% of one? Is it 100% of 201? I don't know. I need to understand that. And for me to understand it, I need to see this. Yesterday, the justice gave us the same report, and we're none the wiser. A whole bunch of targets were removed from their report. They tell us that you're going to report on it. It's not in here, so you're clearly not going to report on it. And the NPA is also not going to report on it. And so between the three of you, you leave the MPs to try and trawl through books and papers and tons of work, and the researchers to do the same, to try and collate some sort of idea of what's going on. I don't know if the other members of the committee have the same difficulty as I do. But I can't imagine that it can be the job of MPs to trawl through stuff trying to find information. It should be there for us to see. We want to know how you're doing. Are you doing better or are you doing worse? I can't glean that from this report. And again, it's not aimed at you personally. It's probably my own fault. But it is not the kind of information that we need. It's a very, very superficial, over-the-top kind of report that doesn't drill down in any detail into any of the factors that concern us. And again, I may be speaking for myself, I don't know. I certainly have those difficulties with it. And I would like to see a whole lot more detail, I would like to see a whole lot more statistics, and I would like to understand. When you say you've reached 80% of your target, what were they? 80% of what? The NPA comes and tells us that they have a 80% conviction rate. 80% of what? Did they prosecute two cases, win them both, and so they've got 100% conviction rate? Or did they prosecute five cases, win them all? Did they do 10 cases, lose five, and now they only have 50%? We need to know. Are they doing better? Are they doing worse? Are they doing more? Are they doing less? We pour millions and millions and millions of taxpayers ran into all of these institutions, and it's very difficult to decide, are you doing better or are you doing worse? What are the actual problems? I don't see it and I don't get it, forgive me. Other questions that I have are, in November 2016 you reported on the introduction of cost-cutting measures. These related specifically to hotel accommodation, travelling, aspects of subsistence and travel allowance, assessors being accompanied by POs, etc., etc. Were those measures implemented? Have they had an impact? If so, how? If not, why not? Those are the kinds of things I'd like to know. You are busy with requesting additional funds from Treasury. How's that doing? Are you making progress? I'd like to know. You implemented a court order integrity committee. What is the status of that committee? Is it functioning? Has it reached any conclusion? Have there been successes? Are we going to be enlightened about that at some point? I would certainly like to know. The recent Labour Court judgment involving the Office of the Chief Justice and 6-term contracts for employees. Are you appealing it? Are you implementing it? If you're implementing it, how far have you gotten? What are what is happening with that temple of your God? And I don't want an 80%, I'd like to know a number. 3 out of 5 have been implemented or not. And what are the 3 out of 5? I don't want to see a slice out of a chart. Your master systems plan, how is that going? Has it been developed fully? Has it been implemented fully? Court infrastructure. You have serious challenges there, I'm perfectly aware of it. Are you making progress? What do you need? What do you not need? Do you need any assistance from this committee? I could go on all morning, but let me stop and give Mr. Matiasi a chance. I'm sure he's got plenty of questions.
Well, thank you so much, Honourable Chair. Let me also express my disappointment and lack of interest shown by our colleagues from the majority party, that out of more than 5 members of the ANC in this committee, none of them, despite the showing just face and left, it should be recorded that we take a very dim view of them showing no interest in the work of the committee, especially now that we are considering the report from the Chief Justice Office. Look, I've got a few questions ready to make. One of which, first, is just a comment. Look, just like my colleague, Honourable Baitenbrand, I don't see what you have come to report here, because your report is so not revealing of the work that you've been doing. Under Program 3, in fact, in all your programs, you have set your bar very low in terms of your target. For in Program 3, for the first quarter, you put your target at 1 for sub-program Judicial Education Institute, Judicial Policy Research and Support, and Judicial Service Commission. Very low. Maybe it's because it has got to do with training and capacity building. But if you come to and report just on what you know, in any case, that you'll be able to achieve just 1 target, doesn't really work away. It would be better if you set your targets much higher than what you have done. I want to quickly deal with the personnel and compensation of judges through what you refer to as gratuities of judges. You seem to have spent on gratuities paid to judges allocation, you've been budget allocation, you'll tell me if I'm wrong, from what Parliament has allocated to you. Isn't that gratuities for people, whether it's judges or it's general personnel who consider retirement, drawn from invested provident funds or pension funds, money which is invested in event that there would be retirement at a certain point in time. And that money is accumulated through various government investment vehicles. Why would you have to use money that has been allocated to you to cover other areas of importance and use that money to pay gratuities for judges and people who do work there? Lastly, Honourable Breitenbach has also touched on this. Why would you have employees on fixed term contracts who made a request that they should be declared permanent and refused to do that until they took the office of the Chief Justice to court, and only to have the court to instruct you that such employees should be employed permanently? Don't you think that is because such employees who would have been employed on fixed-term contracts would have been more useful, more productive, had they been appointed on permanent basis? And what are the recourse now that the judgment has found, or the court has found against the Office of the Chief Justice? How soon do you hope to integrate these fixed-term contract employees as permanent, or rather in permanent positions? How soon do you hope to achieve that? Thank you so much, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Let me clarify something. You are aware that yesterday there was an apology from Chair, who has got official commitment, went to Ghana, was accepted. Honourable Majake, who is the whip of this committee, is also not well. Accepted yesterday. So unfortunately, Honorable Bongo is also serving in ACO committee for party funding, political party funding. So he couldn't make it to this committee. The committee is also sitting with this one. And as to Honorable Maila, the two were here, and Honorable Mbunan. Unfortunately, also they are sitting also in international relations, which they told me, informed you, or they have a workshop. I think it's because they are not too much with this committee. Okay. Thank you, Honorable Members, for the sentiment. SG, yesterday we had an engagement with the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, who remembers on the members raised the issue of lower court. We were informed that is also the competency of, especially the domestic judicial function, competency of Office of Chief Justice. But when one looks at this quarterly report, it appears it focuses much on superior court. I do not take on that. And again, Honorable Breitenbach raised the issue of that integrity. The integrity committee. How far are you with that? There was an instance where fraudulent court orders, especially the Eastern Cape case of that 500,000. You can also comment on that. With regards to her question, Honorable Member's question. And and again, maybe clarify us on some of the issues which were raised during our last engagement, especially in relation to corrective measures which might have been taken in filling of very critical positions in the OCJ. And then again, the NEC, which has been chaired by the Chief Justice, it goes in relation to backlogs of court rolls. Also, your comment on that. Thank you for now.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member. Maybe firstly to deal with the concerns that have been raised around the statistics and the figures in relation to the quota, in relation to the target. We do have full text reports on the performance in relation to quota one. It is just that it was never our understanding that we should present that, because as the honourable members would know, every quarter we submit these reports to other policy departments like DPME and the Office of the Minister. So, Chair, maybe through you and guidance, should we extract the information from this report and submit them fully so that there's a full text report on the performance as such, because we did not bring it along now. Because the statistics are available and the information is available, it's just that it is not in here in the presentation, and so that we can do, and if we are given a time like this.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair, thank you. I don't expect all my questions to be answered today. Clearly that information wouldn't be there. I would, however, appreciate a fully supplied, written up report on the question so that I can understand what the position is in the Office of the Chief Justice. I don't expect it to be today.
Okay.
But may I add, please, Madam Chair, through you, that, and I'm not accusing the people here today of this, but very often we ask questions and we told we'll get written replies.
Mm.
I have never yet received one.
Mm.
This is one that I would really appreciate.
Within 7 days?
No, whatever is reasonable. I'm sure they're busy and I'm sure they've got things to do, and it doesn't have to be within 7 days. When as soon as this can be supplied, within reason.
There's
no pressure. But I would really like to get this, because often we're told we'll get written answers to our questions, and I have yet in 3 years to receive one.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. So you will submit the report and will engage with the committee secretary to get the report submitted.
But in the report that you supply to me, please make sure that the report includes core performance statistics. Not pictures. Not silo, I want statistics on court performance. I want to understand how the courts are performed.
Honourable Chairperson, specifically on the issue of court performance, may I highlight the fact that the provision of statistics for court performance was discussed in the meeting between the Chief Justice, the heads of courts, and the members of the Portfolio Committee in November, and the Chief Justice expressed his views of the judiciary in relation to that mandate, which does not fall within the OCJ per se. And as well as in the subsequent presentation, we highlighted that, because that was contained in the statistical report in our previous annual performance plan, if the committee still recalls that. But I just felt, Chairperson, through you, that I need to put that up front. Maybe let me link the issue that I've just talked about with... Let me link that with the question that the Honourable Chair has indicated relating to the judicial functions under the Magistrates Court. And I'm saying this very guardedly, Chairperson, because it's a mandate that falls under the Chief Justice, as I've indicated, and he has expressed it to the committee, that the judiciary, under the leadership of the Chief Justice, has set up its own mechanism in terms of which the reporting on the judicial functions will be dealt with. The committees of the heads of courts have been assigned to deal with this work. One of the JPs is responsible for the superior court aspect, and the other deputy judge president is assigned to also work on the lower court. So that work, under the guidance and the leadership of the heads of courts and the judiciary and the Chief Justice, has been started, and it is ongoing. And I'm saying this guardedly, because as I've said, the Chief Justice and the judiciary is strong, that court performance and judicial functions fall to senior Terry and not mandate of the OCJ. So I would like to be guided also on that area because it becomes very problematic for us how to deal with it.
Are you saying you are unable to give us because it's not part of your mandate?
Chairperson, and honorable members, as you will recall, as we were moving with our annual performance plan development, we included the judicial functions and court performance indicators and targets. And subsequently, and after the Chief Justice and the Minister engaged, that was shifted out of the OCJ performance area as a statistical table, and then it has been excluded in this financial year. And as I've indicated, the Chief Justice and the Heads of Court have their own special committees that are dealing with such parts, which is being supported by the OCJ. Yes.
Can we then explain to you how this committee will come by that information? Because
yes.
Everybody's now passing the buck, and I'm not accusing you of passing the buck, but it's nobody's job. It's always, whenever somebody comes to the committee to report, it's somebody else's job, so we're never going to get it. This committee's charge is oversight of these institutions. And Madam Chair, perhaps I'm the only one who feels this way, but I'm sure I'm not. The committee cannot be dictated to as to what information we receive and what we don't. If we're going to do proper oversight, then we must get the information that we need. And we can't continuously be told it's somebody else's job. Because as the different departments come and report, it's somebody else's job, and we never get the stuff. So we need to find out whose job it is, and that whoever job it is needs to supply us with the information. Because if it's not the office of the OCJ, fine, but then whose job is it? And where will we get it?
Maybe we'll go there and do an oversight in CJ's office. Maybe we'll get it.
Thanks, Chairperson, but as I've already alluded, Chairperson, there was a meeting between the Chief Justice in November with the Portfolio Committee when this matter was raised. And I will also, as part of the report, will be before the minutes of that report as part of the report.
I'll be very grateful because I wasn't at this
meeting. Oh. On cost-cutting measures, the CEO will deal with that matter. Relating to funding, as we had requested for additional funding to Treasury, we are engaging with Treasury. There are positive indications that we might get funding, especially for the Mpumalanga High Court. So when we give the report, if the letter has come from Treasury for confirmation, we will share that with the committee to indicate to what extent that we've been giving extra funds for Mpumalanga. Okay. The...
We want to do a call-off. Let's not create a dialogue.
Yeah, no, look, again, I don't want to create a dialogue. And again, I want to stress I'm not fighting with you. I'm actually fighting with myself. Thank you for the answer about the funding from Treasury, and he has to be very interested in the outcome. But this committee is not in possession of sufficient information to understand whether the funds that you have are being properly employed, because you can't get the information. And so I don't know whether to be happy or sad that you're going to get more funding or not get more funding, because I don't know if you're properly using the funding that you've got. So it's impossible for me to glean that. But again, that's, I'm not fighting with you.
The just to end on the issue of funding, we had indicated the challenges that we had faced with the compensation of employee budget ceilings that were imposed by Treasury, which we have raised with them. And then when we submit the report, Honorable Chair, we'll indicate the numbers, the figures, that we had a shortfall on compensation of employees due to the ceiling, as well as the figures that Treasury giving indications that we might get. We might get about $24 million for the Mpumalanga High Court, but as I'm indicating, we will need written confirmation from Treasury on these things, and then we'll share it with the committee. other aspect that I'll touch on relates to the court integrity committee that has been formed, which deals with the fraudulent court orders. It is working. The progress to reports, which will also include in our feedback report, is that the both the NPA and the police have made commitments and they have given instructions to their units to prioritize court orderly offenses in the courts as and when they are reported, so that they are given priority. So they have been escalated as priority cases in their environment as such. And we will share with the committee the statistics when they are available on the cases in each province when you submit the report. The MSP, which is the ICT strategy, will also share the report. The SCFO has indicated one aspect of the progress, which is the e-filing, which we will be getting funding from National Treasury, and we are going on tender to initiate that process relating to the e-filing. The COO will deal with the graduates and the question relating to the COE and personnel, and why we are using the funds to pay the graduates, because, and he will explain how the judges' conditions of service differ from those of the ordinary public servants. With regards to the secretaries, judges' secretaries and the judgment, the issue of the judges' secretaries and their employment status has been an ongoing issue, which we also inherited from the Department of Justice upon the transfer, where most of the secretaries were, or some of the secretaries were not permanent. And the matter was also discussed by the heads of court in terms of making sure that we standardize. However, because each division wanted to deal with the secretary's issues differently, it was agreed that each division deals with that. When the problem occurred in the labor court, we were in the process of following due process in terms of the DPSA prescripts to ensure that contract employees who have chosen to be permanent are made permanent. And as a result, we followed the recruitment process in terms of advertising, etc. And that is when the officials took the matter to court. We have implemented the judgment subsequent to the judgment in the labor court. And we have ensured that in each division, the situation is normalized. Those who are wishing to be permanent are put permanent, because there are those who wish to be on fixed-term contracts and do not prefer to be permanent. And that we have normalized in all the regions, and we have the reports on each division which we can share in terms of how we have approached it. But we have implemented the judgment and we are not appealing. As far as done with the issue, Chairperson, relating to the NEC and the backlog falls with the issue that I've raised around the judicial functions and the Chief Justice a role with the court performance.
So
is
part of that
issue?
The issue...
I want to make a suggestion. If we're going to be getting the detailed written report, then all of these answers can be included in the report.
All of those issues which you raised?
Yes.
Are you in agreement, Honourable Matthias? The proposal by your neighbour?
Well, I'm not following because I'm waiting for my questions to be answered. Then
we can deal with it.
I suggest that if you're getting a full written report, all the questions can be answered in the written report. But that's up to you.
The CFO can deal with the issue of Honourable Matthias.
Okay.
Yeah, in the infrastructure.
Can I proceed, Chair?
Honourable.
Thank you.
I'm
the CFO. Right. I will deal with all the financial questions raised by both honourable members and then we can provide the answers in the committee. The question around the cost-cutting measures and the implementation thereof, we can report that as we reported in November 2016, these were the voluntary cost-cutting measures implemented by the heads of court on the legislative benefits of judges. We have, the judiciary has implemented that through the OCJ and the administration. We've realized a saving of around 15 million in the previous financial year as a result of these cost-cutting measures that they implemented from the judiciary side. The money could then be utilized for other priorities. You would remember as the members that we received a baseline transfer for the functions that the transfer from justice. For instance, the Limpopo High Court was never part of the transfer of functions because it, it wasn't in existence when they transferred the functions to the OCJ. We were therefore able to fund the operations of the Limpopo Court through these cost-cutting measures without requesting National Treasury for a budget baseline increase. So yes, the cost-cutting measures were implemented and it bore fruit and we were able then to fund other priorities. The question on the MSP, the SG has addressed the issue of the e-filing that has been funded. In our submissions to National Treasury, however, we've requested an additional 45 million for the next financial year to assist us to be able to implement the MSP. In our previous reports, we've indicated that it's a programmed approach that we are following because the money was not available as part of the transfer, and it's as and when we received that from National Treasury that we will implement the phases of the MSP. So we are funding the priorities in terms of the MSP first, which started with the e-filing. Then the issue around infrastructure was raised by the Honourable Member Reitenbach. You would also remember that infrastructure as a function has never been transferred to the OCJ. It's retained as a function and a budget in the Department of Justice. So yes, we do experience infrastructure problems in the High Court, but the function resides and the budget resides in Justice. So we work through our own internal partnerships between us and the Department of Justice and DPW to try and resolve our issues, but we are dependent on the budget from another department. The area around the gratuities of judges, you would see when we explain the expenditure is charged against the National Revenue Fund, the direct charge, the same area where the judges' salaries are being paid from. Judges do not belong to a pension fund in terms of their conditions of employment and benefits that legislated. All expenses relating to judges' salaries, pension and gratuities come from the National Revenue Fund, the so-called direct charges. Gratuities are not only paid to judges once they retire or when they are discharged from active service. In terms of their benefits, they are entitled to gratuities after certain periods of service. And then once they've reached that number of 15 years of service as a judge, they are then entitled to the first gratuity, but they are not compelled to take that gratuity on the date of 15 years service. They can choose to take it 1 or 2 or 3 years after they've reached that 15 years as applicable. And that's why we are saying it's very difficult to plan for, because they can request it whenever. They are eligible to request it or even wait a year or two. So judges' gratuities is not a pension fund issue. It's a direct charge against the National Revenue Fund. The direct charges are also, unlike voted funds, are also, if there's a problem in terms of maybe overspending of direct charges, National Treasury just moves funds from the Revenue Fund to direct charges to cover the cost. It's like any public office bearer's account. It's dealt with in exactly the same fashion by National Treasury. I think I've dealt with the financial question. Honourable Chair, there was a question around the inability to determine whether we are properly spending the funds on which is which we are responsible for. I think there will be more clarity once we come and present our annual report and the audited financial statements for the previous financial year. Very soon in this quarter, that presentation will come, and then we can also give the assurance to the committee members on the proper spending of the funds in the OCJ.
Let me be clear, it's not that I doubt it, it's just I don't know.
Yeah. Huh. Will you please?
So I want to be clear, it's not that I doubt it, it's just that I don't know. Mm-hmm. I can't find it. It's not here.
Well, with this explanation, Honourable Chair, I concur with Honourable Breitenbach that additional information should be provided on questions raised by ourselves here.
Chairperson, Honourable Chairperson, just maybe because, maybe the challenge, the gap is that we have not presented our AR for the previous financial year we closed. So it becomes very difficult to find the link with the quarter one and where we come from. And maybe going forward, when we do the presentation, we'll always bring the written text so that it is easy for us to share with the committee. Because we haven't done it before, so I see all the questions are what you already submitted in the committee. Yes. All right.
Sorry. While you're busy with the written report, for which I'm very grateful, would you include a copy of the monitoring report, please? Thank you.
Okay. So, is there anything? I think we've come to the end of this meeting. Thank you very much, SG. Honorable members, thank you very much, our staff,